Good morning, Florida Town Baptist Church. It is good to have this opportunity to spend with you again the Sunday following Easter. And I hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone is having a good day. And let me remind you that I am sending emails to our Florida Town Church family and friends. If you have your email address registered with me, I am sending those devotional emails. I am also linking this service time, and I encourage you to share that with your friends. Ask them to send me an email. I will get them on the email list as well if they want to be. But as a reminder, that communication is going out to the church. It is meant to encourage and to uplift, and I hope that it is meeting that goal. God is with us, and God will strengthen us, and I pray that He is doing it through everything, through the emails, through the service time, and through the other times that you have together and with family and friends in whatever manner that might be. Now, this morning, I'd like to continue with you considering the resurrection of Christ and events that followed the same day that they realized the tomb was empty. So I'm going to be reading today from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you'd like to read with me, I'll begin in verse number 13. Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know who he was. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you are having one with another as you walk and are so sad?" Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. They drew near to a village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Father, we do thank you so much that you are with us even when we can't recognize it. And Father, that you travel with us, and Lord, that you even talk with us. Lord, that you comfort our hearts and our minds. Lord, you bring peace to our soul. In times of trouble and where there is no understanding of what is happening, or even when our expectations seem to be crushed and have no hope, Lord, you have the answer for us. You show us a new day. You shine the light of truth upon us and fill us with your joy. And we thank you. And Father, be with us now, we ask, to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it was the same day that Mary and the other women had gone to the tomb and found it empty, and that Peter and John had rushed after they had came and reported to them the tomb was empty, that they had rushed to the tomb and found it as the women had found it, empty. So it was that this same day, these other disciples, who had obviously been a part of the group that heard the words, were also later in the day traveling to Emmaus. And they were on the road and they were discussing among themselves all the things that were happening, what had taken place and the horror of it to them. What did it mean, they thought? And you know, sometimes in our life we can ask these same questions of ourselves, and we can try to understand what is happening all around us, but sometimes we just can't understand. It's just a matter of trusting in God and walking in faith. But when it comes to the things of God, these are even harder to understand. And sometimes the path is uncertain. We have expectations that we think God is going to meet in our life, and then all of a sudden we find out our expectations can't possibly come to be because of some event or some tragedy, and we walk around and we try to understand, we try to discern the times, we try to figure it out. Sometimes we just need to see the plan better for what it is. And so it is, these disciples are walking and they're talking, and of course they are sad because Christ has been crucified. Not only is he being crucified now, his body has been taken, so they think, and they are discussing these things. And then Jesus shows up unannounced, without any kind of show or fanfare or announcements. He joins with them on the road, and he joins with them and even asks a question of them. What is this you are talking about? And they thought he was odd when he asked that question. But Jesus is always like that with us. When we are really disappointed or saddened in life and we are trying to talk with God, do you understand that God will speak to us this way? What are you sad about? What are you talking about? You see, God is trying to get right there with us where we are at. And it's always good for us to openly express these things with others that we have in confidence, that we can talk with, that we can share with God the same way. What are you talking about? See, he gets right there where they are. And now they just throw it out there at him and they ask him back another question. Don't you know what has happened? Are you the only one here that does not know what is happening? And what they found and what we will find too is this truth about God. It is always he who knows more than we. And if anyone does know what is happening, he will know. Even if we can't recognize him for who he is or for what he's doing, he still knows and can still guide us as we move along. And this is exactly what Jesus begins to do with these disciples. He said, "Oh, foolish men. And how slow of your heart you are that you can't believe what is happening in these days. With all that is going on, you don't know. You don't believe even what you think it might be. Do you believe the story that the women saw the angels? Do you believe that the Christ might be risen? What is it that you believe? And if you have any faith in these things that they might be true, why are you sad?" Because there is no need to be sad when we think that the Christ is alive. And Christ is alive. And he is with us. And he will always encourage us in this way. But sometimes he has to begin by asking us why we are so foolish in our heart and in our understanding of who He is and about His purposes. You see, they didn't recognize Him. It's not a matter that they didn't recognize Him. They hadn't recognized Him for His purpose the entire time He was with them. He taught them and He spoke with them about all of these things. He even bluntly shared with them that the Christ must suffer. And here they are sad that all of these things have come about. They didn't just recognize Him as the Christ. They didn't know that He was going to suffer all of these things, though they had been told, even in the Scriptures, it was foretold. They just didn't get it. They did not recognize Him and accept the truth of His teachings. That is, they did not recognize Him and His purpose when He was with them. And they didn't recognize Him now as He was with them, His presence right there with them. And why is it, do you think, that people don't recognize God's purpose nor His presence? There are some things that can hinder us. And these are the three things that I'd like to share with you that might interfere with our recognizing God's purpose and His presence in our life. The first thing I would share is the same thing that these disciples seem to have a lack of, and that is knowledge or understanding of who God is, what His purpose is. Again, He had mentioned to them in teachings that the Christ would suffer. Peter, remember, had said, "No, it will not be. Don't let it be so." And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because it was God's will and purpose for the Christ to come and to give His life a sacrifice so that many could be saved. So a lack of knowledge or understanding, that is dealing with the things of our mind, these things can keep us from recognizing His purpose and even His presence. The second thing that I would say is when our hearts are hardened against the truth of God. When we are filled with jealousies and angers, when we have misunderstandings, when we try to make our purpose God's, our hearts are hardened against the will of God. These things can help us stand in the dark for longer than we should. We will not recognize Him nor His purpose if we don't understand with our minds the things of God, who He is and what His purposes are. We won't recognize God when we are filled with self-fulfillment, desires of self-fulfillment only, and to have our expectations met beyond the will of God. We won't recognize His purpose nor His presence with us. And the third thing that I would say is if we're just plain spiritually numb to who God is and what He's doing. If our spirit is just dull to what is going on, we might recognize it better if we say it like this. We don't see the plank in our own eye for the plank in everybody else's. And what I'm saying is this. It's always easy to see things that are happening, but we don't recognize why or how it impacts us. We can't see things for what they really are because we are spiritually blind, and no one can see when their eye has a plank in it. Three things dealing with our minds, our hearts, and our spirits that can dull us to the presence of God, to understanding His purpose. But God is even so still able to help us and to bring us out of the darkness and into the light. And the same thing with these disciples, men who had walked with Christ during His ministry. Sad because they didn't understand. Maybe they didn't want to believe. How could it be that the Christ is risen? And Jesus asked them, "Why are you sad? And why are you talking about it like this? Foolish men. And slow of heart to believe." But He didn't just finish there. Jesus continued. And in verse 27, it says, "And beginning in Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He began to explain it to them. He began to build on the base of understanding that they had, but not just build on it, to reveal it, to show the truth of it, to spiritually enlighten them, to open their minds to who he is and to show them his purpose. He even cracked those old hard hearts and made them burn within them. He started with Moses. And he talked to them about all of the things that the scripture had been given about him, how these things must happen. And I know in times past, there have been sermons that I have preached to you dealing with Old Testament events and things. And I'll share one right now with you, beginning with Moses. I can imagine that Jesus, when he began talking about Moses, one of the things that he must have shared was the time that Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole for people to look at. And if you're interested, you can find that account in Numbers chapter 21. But apparently the people had become discouraged with God, so much that they were even complaining about God. I wonder if these disciples even had some complaints in their way of discussing the matters that were happening in their day. They might have been sad, and they could have been disappointed, and they could have been frustrated and even share in that. And that is why Jesus spoke to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe." Because people within their relationship with God will find themselves dull and not seeing and not understanding, becoming depressed and complainers. And then God has to get down there with us and help us to see. And sometimes it's a bit of a rebuke. "Oh, foolish man. Oh, foolish woman. How did you get to this place that you're at? And how is it that you are speaking in the manner in which you are speaking?" And then once he has our attention, he can explain things to us. He can reveal things in his word to us. "Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole." Don't you remember those people when they became so discouraged in God and began to complain about the things that God was providing in their life, that he was doing for them in life, that he sent these serpents to bite them, and those that were bitten would die? And so they came to Moses and asked for forgiveness, pleaded that he find forgiveness for the people. And God said, "Okay, make a serpent, a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and then stand it up on the pole out where everyone can see it. And those who come and look upon the serpent, they'll be healed." And a lot of people surely thought that that was a joke, because what does looking at a bronze serpent at the top of a pole, what does that really mean to me? I don't worship a serpent. I worship a God who is the creator of all things. Not one of those things. What it really was a matter of faith. And those who believed that God had instructed this to be done, they came and they looked and they were healed. But many, I imagine, continued to spend even their last dime trying to find a way to heal themselves apart from God. And they died. And just as Moses lifted the serpent, so the Christ had to be lifted before all the people so that they could see. They could look upon him and find forgiveness of sins. How about David? David in the 22nd Psalm, as he begins, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And as you continue to read that 22nd Psalm, you read the events of the crucifixion, hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever practiced. The horror of what it was going to be like for the Christ. And then followed by the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want." And how about Isaiah in chapter 9 when he says this, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, for a child will be born, A son will be given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So many things that Jesus began to open their eyes to that they had already had in their minds, and I would say even in their hearts from the teachings that they had had in the times they had been in the temple. Certainly they had heard these scriptures. Certainly they had heard the teachings from the rabbis and from all that were involved with the services there. But now they were overcome with grief because they did not understand what was taking place. Don't let your heart take control of the truth of God. God has not failed. Just because you can't see Him in a moment, just because you don't recognize His purpose, that doesn't mean that God has failed. It does not mean that God has abandoned you or anyone else. It does not mean that God has left us to our own devices. It just means we need to be still and know that He is God. And when we find ourselves in a moment where God can't speak to us, He will help us to see. I hope you haven't been like me on some of these occasions where it has taken way too long, sometimes years, to finally hear the voice of God explain to me why some things had to happen in life. Not that I had been abandoned or forgotten or forsaken, but that people are who they are and bad things will happen. Trials and tribulations will come. Even today, disease and pestilence will come and will strike us. In fact, God tells us in His Word that these things will happen to us, especially in those last days. And He says also that many will fall away. You see, many of us might be on a path today, not understanding where God is leading or what God is doing. And how could He have abandoned us to this disease and to this pestilence and why we don't deserve it? But this has never been about what people deserve. If it was about what people deserve, we would have never had Christ on a cross. Because none of us deserve that kind of love and opportunity at forgiveness for sin, that He should give Himself. No, God had ordained that these things must happen so that we could find Him and be guided by His purposes. And when we find ourselves in these places of doubt, when we open our hearts to God, and He begins to show us things and even sometimes reveal to us something that we might not have known previously. Doesn't our heart burn within us? Knowing that God is alive in us and is real with us and keeping us and will not abandon us. Our hearts begin to burn when we have that close relationship with God. I wished my heart could burn every second of every day, knowing that God is there and that He is with me. But you know, that's what faith is all about. My heart doesn't have to burn like that every second of every day, but my faith should burn every second of every day. It should be strong and it should be real and it should help me face the uncertainties that are falling all around us in life every day. Faith, not just that we'll get through, but faith in God, who is the one that gets us through. And this is what He was explaining to the disciples. These things had to be because God had a purpose even for the Christ. And when the truth of who He is and what He has sacrificed to give you an opportunity to find forgiveness of sin through Him, How wonderful a thing it truly is. How wonderful it is to feel the burn of our hearts because the love of God is reaching it and massaging it and helping us to understand this is real and God is real. And God will be with us. You know, there's another little point that I'd like to make with you here. Do you know that while Christ was with these disciples, there were others in another place that were still sad? Their hearts were still yearning to know the truth of God. And these, their hearts were burning with the truth that had just been realized. And when a heart begins to burn with God's truth, there's a reaction that it must take. It must share. It must thank God. It must share what has been given to others who still have hearts that is yearning. While one heart burns, another heart yearns. And together, God expands His glories into all of us when we can share the truth of who He is. Just like these disciples rushing back, even in the same night, to tell the others that they had seen the risen Christ. You know, one day we shall all see the risen Christ. And one day all hearts will be burning with the love of Christ forever and ever. Never empty again, never to yearn because He feels absent from us or taken from us. Never to yearn again because we don't know and don't understand. Never to yearn again because we can't recognize His purpose. And certainly because we don't recognize His presence. One day the yearning will end for all of the believers. And the burning will be every day with a new song praising the glory of who He is. Don't forget to share the goodness of Christ to others. Perhaps your heart is alive right now. Perhaps it might even be burning with remembrance of the good things He has done for you. And that is something to share because another heart might feel empty and misses the presence of God that can be filled with your testimony that He lives. And so I encourage you to remember God. He certainly remembers you. To walk with God because He's certainly on a journey and He wants us to be with Him. And to have faith in God in all things. Because the one who can conquer the tomb can certainly conquer everything else we might face. God loves you. I love you. And I pray God's peace be upon you. Father, thank you again for the time you have given. Now be glorified in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.